Welcome to the Success Leaves Clues podcast with Robin Bailey and Al McDonald. Have you ever wondered what makes someone successful? What are they doing that's different? How do they achieve greatness? We believe that success leaves clues. In this series, we are interviewing very successful people from different walks of life to hear their stories. We'd like to remind our listeners that the views expressed in this podcast are those of our guests and not necessarily those shared by our hosts.
Welcome back to the Success Leaves Clues podcast. Today's episode is sponsored by Life and Legacy Advisory Group. Are you a small business owner who thinks they pay too much in taxes? We can help. Give us a call or book a meeting by clicking the link in the show notes to book a free financial consultation so you can have peace of mind about your financial future. We're also brought to you by Aria Benefits. If you're a business leader challenged with talent attraction, employee engagement, or supporting mental health, we can help. Use your benefits package as the key to unlock your workforce. I'm Robin Bailey, your host today, here with my co-host, Al McDonald. Al, how is your day going? We're warming up. Have you warmed up the bike yet?
Not as much as I would like, Robin, but I'm optimistic. We will get there. It's been an early spring, so I am sure that I will be on the bike sooner rather than later.
Good stuff. And just a reminder, if you do see Al or his counterparts out there, give them a little bit of room because our cars are a little more durable than they are. So always respect our friends on our bikes. Well, I am super excited today because I think the person that we're interviewing has a really interesting story. So our guest today is Jennifer Harding Marlin from J.H. Marlin Attorneys at Law. Jennifer is a citizen and residency by investment lawyer based in St. Kitts and Nevis in the Caribbean. Welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Well, I've been watching your YouTube videos for a long time, and I've learned a ton about what you do. And I have to admit, part of it is, you know, when you're doing these videos and your backdrop is this beautiful Caribbean, I have to admit that's part of the draw for me because obviously I have a relationship with the Caribbean for over 30 years now. But the information you put out is really, really good. And again, I think you have a really interesting story, and I've gotten to know you a little bit over the last little while. And we have some mutual friends around the world. So I thought where we'd start with today is your path has been quite different than a lot of people as a Canadian entrepreneur that we talk to. So I thought maybe we can start with, you know, you come out of university because I believe you were going to university in Montreal, correct?
Yes, I attended McGill University in Montreal.
Okay. So take us from there. How on earth do you end up practicing law in the Caribbean?
Yeah, so I was in my second year of law school, and I was looking for a way to distinguish myself from my older male colleagues. And so I researched all the different jurisdictions in the world where it could be an interesting place to work. And I discovered the island of Nevis, and I thought that it had really interesting laws as well as citizenship by investment program, which I'd never heard of before. And I thought it was really interesting. So I went there to do an international internship, fell in love with the island, fell in love with the Caribbean, and saw a lot of different business opportunities in the Caribbean. And that's really what sparked my entrepreneurial journey and my desire to leave Canada to set up elsewhere.
That's a big move, right? Like a lot of people would dream about that. I remember years ago, my wife and I started traveling the Caribbean together when we're in our mid to late 20s. And like a lot of people, you think, that'd be cool. Oh, that we could have this every day. But what were people around you saying when you said, because I'm assuming you just went out and did this by yourself, like, were there any people, the naysayers, as it were, that said, like, are you a bit crazy? Like, what are you doing?
Oh, for sure. I mean, a lot of people had their doubts. People didn't understand. People didn't want to take the risk and the leap. And I think entrepreneurship is about balancing risk and taking a risk. And it was a huge risk at the time, but I'm very happy that I took that path.
And how long have you been in the Caribbean now?
So I've been in the Caribbean now about 10 years.
Wow.
I lived in the Bahamas, Cayman Islands, St. Kitts and Nevis, Antigua, and I traveled all throughout the Caribbean, and I absolutely love it.
Now, St. Kitts and Nevis, is that where you first established or first started working, or was it somewhere else?
Yeah, so I first started working in St. Kitts and Nevis.
Okay.
We do a lot of citizenship by investment, so that's helping people acquire another citizenship and passport, which gives them the right to live and work in the country as well as travel visa-free to a high level of countries visa-free. And so we started in St. Kitts and Nevis, the business. And then there's other Caribbean islands that offer citizenship by investment and have other investor programs that people are interested in. And so ever since starting in St. Kitts and Nevis, we've expanded it into other islands. So we do cover a lot of the Caribbean region.
So how would that work? If you're based in St. Kitts, how would that work with other those programs like St. Lucia, for example? Do you work with other law firms there, or is it all based through your law firm through St. Kitts and you just deal with those programs?
Yeah, so we deal with the program. So you'd always be dealing with either myself or someone from my staff or colleagues of mine for other islands.
Hey, so Jennifer, tell us a little bit about when you started the business. There's always, well, Robin had mentioned naysayers, but there's always lots of challenges, right, to starting up a new business. What are some of the things that maybe you had to overcome, some of the obstacles, things that got in your way before you started to be successful and started to see some light at the end of the tunnel?
Yeah, so the challenge was, of course, getting clients when you are not well established. I think it was advantageous that I did work in the Cayman Islands and I was exposed to different law firms and different clients that were in the Cayman Islands that needed services in Nevis. And so that was a way to bridge myself to starting my own law firm, was that previous people that I worked with could make good referrals and or vouch for me, which was gained the ability to acquire clients and to really establish myself and my name in the jurisdiction of St. Kitts and Nevis. But of course, like finances, just like the up and down of starting a business, all the regulatory work that goes into ensuring compliance, having all the setup to be able to offer services and give good services to clients. There's always challenge in business. There's always a problem to be solved and it's solvable. You just have to find the solution and always be willing to find solutions to problems.
Is there something that you can recall that maybe was a big obstacle to getting started that you had to overcome? Does any story come to mind that you were successfully able to navigate to get through that?
I think one of the things was my age. I started at a very young age. So I had to kind of sell myself and convince people that it is worth going to someone that is younger and that despite being younger, I do have experience and I'm capable of handling the file. And just really having to go above and beyond to demonstrate my capabilities and demonstrate myself to others, at least at first, when I first started the business, is a challenge. It's still an ongoing challenge. People are expecting to see an older individual assisting them with their file, but it's something that I've been able to overcome.
Robin mentioned that you use YouTube quite a bit.
Yes.
Is that something that you figured out on your own, maybe got some advice on, or, you know, how'd you go down that path and how have you found it being able to contribute to your business?
Yes, we've helped. When I first started, I helped famous YouTubers and they encouraged me to start my own YouTube channel. I also did some videos on their channel, Crypto Tips, Heidi and Toby.
Shout out to Heidi and Toby. Awesome channel. I watched that one too. Yeah.
Awesome channel. Awesome people. They're so great.
Yeah. Amazing people. Yeah.
Yeah. Toby, he surfs some of the biggest waves in the world in Portugal and they're just really great people. So I was featured on their channel and that's how a lot of people learned about me. And then I started my own YouTube channel and we provide information about relocating to the Caribbean, citizenship by investment, residency by investment, top places to retire, and other information as it pertains to investor immigration.
Jennifer, I've heard other YouTubers say for the first while, you're putting out videos and you don't get any traction. Right? No one is watching, right? But then at some point, and I mean, I can see it with Heidi and Toby, their channel has just exploded and they're good at it and they put effort into content and I think they're providing really valuable content. But if Al and I, because we've started putting clips from our podcast here on YouTube and, you know, there's five or six people clicking on it at this point, right? The podcast itself gets a lot more traction than YouTube, but the YouTube is very, very new. We might have five or six videos on there. Do you have a sense of at what point, like how far in or how many years or how many videos that you put out before, people are starting to pay attention to this?
Yeah, I think consistency is key and congratulations on the success that you've had for this podcast and for the videos that people are watching. I think it's very informative. I've watched a couple of them and I think it's just consistency is key. The more you do it and the more you try to find ways to become better every day, at a certain point, there's a flippening and people are more interested and there's more traction.
I think you're right, because I think yesterday episode 176 went out. And now I was telling you before we started recording, now every guest we find is an introduction, which is great because in the beginning it was like, who can I beg to come on the podcast? So I'm assuming it's going to be the same with the YouTube. You mentioned Toby. I'll give Toby a shout out because the waves at Nazaré, for anyone who's been to Portugal in Nazaré in the wintertime, the waves there are terrifying. And Toby will post these videos of these 70, 80 foot waves that these guys are surfing. And it's just like, good for you. But I think it's just so crazy and so scary, but it's amazing to see. Jennifer, I've spent some time in the Caribbean and I've taken my computer and I've done some meetings with Al and Joe and I'm doing it while there's a beach out there. How do you run a practice where out your back door or out your front door is this amazing beach and the palm trees and the lifestyle that people are going on vacation? Like, how do you stay focused and build a business with, now you've got other staff to worry about, without getting distracted and saying, geez, it looks really great outside. I'm just going to spend the day outside. Like, I would imagine it's a little tougher as I look out at the gray at my window right now. So it's very easy to stay inside. But how do you face that challenge?
Yeah, so I try to build in a routine to my day. So I'm always like, being in the Caribbean is an outdoor lifestyle. It's so naturally beautiful. Just taking moments where I designate time to enjoy the Caribbean. And so like, if that's in the morning, whether that's going for an early morning swim or going for a run or a walk, and just designating certain times, like, this is a time that I'm really going to focus on work. And this is a time that I'm going to focus on enjoying the Caribbean and having a balance between working and enjoying life. And I mean, I'm sure you, if ever you've dealt with the Caribbean before, you know that paperwork is very slow and things are very slow. So just adjusting to a mindset that you might have to wait on documents for things to be done, but not to get too frustrated and to continue working and try to make something happen.
Even going on vacation, your first couple of days, because for me, I'm used to Toronto time and everything happening quickly. So when you go out to a restaurant, especially a lunch, because even the wait staff know I got to get them in and get them out because they've got to get back to the office. So everything, I was out to a lunch with a client yesterday and it all happened very quickly within the hour because they know they got to get people get it out. So when you go to the Caribbean and you order a lunch, it's taken a lot of time and you have to actually think, oh, hold on a second. I'm not in the big city anymore.
Yeah.
I've got to relax because they are not on the same mindset as I got to get you out of there. It's more sit back, relax, enjoy. So I would imagine adapting to that lifestyle makes life a little bit easier for you, knowing that that's just how things are going to happen.
Exactly. And just everyone's in a good mood. Everyone's really happy all the time. So it's just such a great environment to be in. And I'm really blessed to be able to work in the Caribbean.
Al, I don't know, maybe in our future is an in-person with Jennifer, maybe in, you know, on the beach or something under a little patio.
That'd be great.
You're welcome to have you.
Sit around the table with the microphone in the middle.
Exactly.
Jennifer, what does success look like to you?
That's a difficult question. I think success is really individualized and depends on person to person. For me, success is being happy and being satisfied, working on meaningful work, having a family and having close friends and really just trying to be the best person for yourself and for others. And so to me, that's what success is.
So are you finding that your career that you've chosen is matching up with that? Still work on some things? Or tell me a little bit about that. What is the best thing about your career right now?
I just love helping people, especially people to live more globally and freely. I mean, so many people are restricted based on simply the country where they're born. They have limited opportunities, if that's for travel or for business or for otherwise. And so just helping people to want to achieve their goals and to be able to access more opportunities and live their best life and go out and do what they want to do and be support that. And so it's just so satisfying, the work that I do. I'm really happy.
Jennifer, I know you can't divulge client information, obviously, but just what you spoke about, people as Canadians, I think we take it for granted. Sometimes our passport can take us visa-free access to a lot of places all over the world, but not everyone in the world has that. And where you're born is no fault of your own. And sometimes you just don't have access. Can you talk about any of those examples where you've worked with people where all of a sudden they have that freedom to take their family to somewhere better?
Yeah. So we've helped clients in over 40 plus different countries. And so I'll always remember this family from Syria that we helped. So with a Syrian passport, you only have visa-free travel to 30 countries and you're really limited in opportunities. And so just helping the family acquire another citizenship and be able to travel freely to Europe and to travel freely around the world, as well as do other immigration programs, and how much this has impacted their life and changed their life. Just clients and families like this, where we've really changed the life for generations to come as well. It's not just the applicants in the time of, it's for future generations as well that will benefit from having more opportunities, whether that's travel, business, education, or elsewise.
You know, thanks to the podcast, and again, it is so surreal for me doing this a long time. We're recording 4 episodes today, and I should be used to it now, but it's so surreal when I hear someone will reach out. And again, I've told this story to a lot of podcast guests. We had a guest on, and one of the coolest stories they told us was the episode went out, and another person who was in a similar role in Stockholm, Sweden, had reached out to her and said, "Hey, I feel like you were talking to me. Can we have a virtual coffee?" Then they start collaborating together. They're friends now. They have open invitations to each other's condos to stay when they're traveling. And this whole community, and thanks to that, how I met Jennifer, I have friends around the world now. And there's different reasons. You talked about the family in Syria, where kind of out of necessity, right? You didn't have a lot of options there. And now they do. But for the North American audience, I'm kind of familiar, just because of some of my friends, about how or why the U.S. passport didn't make sense for them anymore. But even Canadians, are there Canadians coming to you for one of these citizenship by investment programs? And why?
Yeah, so we have a ton of Canadian as well as a ton of American clients that we've assisted with citizenship by investment. A lot of Canadians have expressed to us the dissatisfaction of the direction that Canada is going in. And they feel restricted and limited by being in Canada. And they just want to gain more access to more opportunities, have a Plan B passport as a safety, security, and insurance. As well, getting a passport of the Caribbean gives you the right to live, work, and travel within the Caribbean. You have access to increased level visa-free travel. As well, a lot of the Caribbean islands are tax favorable. So there's tax friendliness to relocating to the Caribbean. If you're someone that is an entrepreneur that can work from your laptop and have the flexibility to work from anywhere, I mean, the Caribbean offers a really great lifestyle. So we've been helping a lot of people that wish to relocate and or have the opportunity to be able to relocate in the future.
And is it just the Caribbean you're dealing with, Jennifer, or are you into other locations now as well?
Yeah, so we're helping people with other locations as well. So some people, there's other investment programs around the world, such as Malta or Turkey citizenship by investment. There's also residency programs like Dubai, Portugal. Some people are relocating to Thailand, Malaysia. So over time, we have just increased the level of countries and places that we can help people relocate to. And if we're not able to handle it directly, we have somebody that we can refer clients to in specific countries based on the fact that a lot of our clients have relocated all around the world. South America is really big at the moment. Panama, Costa Rica, Paraguay, Uruguay, Colombia. So a lot of different places that people are relocating to.
And what kind of a process is involved? What's the time frame, effort? I don't know if you can give kind of a synopsis of what people have to go through to be able to get to the end result.
Yeah, so it's quite a bit of documentation, depending if you're doing citizenship or residency, and both citizenship and residency are different things. But if you are doing citizenship by investment, it is a process that can take several months. There is quite a bit of documentation involved. So you would initially retain us, gather identification documents, the citizenship by investment unit. It's not like you physically have to go there. Everything can be done from a distance. There is a new interview component as part of the citizenship by investment process. But once all your documents have been submitted by your agent and you have gone through the process, if you're successful, then you will make the investment contribution. There's options of either investing in real estate that's specifically designated for citizenship, or doing a donation option, or investing in government bonds. So depending on the program, there are different options available. And you're looking at a couple of months in order to get citizenship and passport.
To me, this is something where I think even, and I don't know, but even if you could do it yourself, that sounds daunting enough. I think I'd rather retain someone like yourself to say, listen, here's what I want. Just help me get there. So I think you're doing a great service. The other thing I wanted to say to you, Jennifer, and it's one of the reasons why I love what I do for a living, but also the podcast as well. It's evidenced in today's conversation. I mean, you're dealing with people around the world. You must just have really interesting conversations, because I imagine there's so many different motivations for why someone is coming to you. And it must just make your role, to me, really rewarding. Like, I love what I do. I love when I see the end result. I'm helping someone. And I guess for you helping so many different people around the world, that must be pretty rewarding for you.
Oh, I absolutely love it. It's really interesting to learn about different countries and cultures. I mean, we've helped people from certain countries I didn't know anything about. If you asked me to locate their country on a map, prior to knowing them, I wouldn't have been able to identify. So it's just so fun to hear different people's stories, different people's motivations and their goals in life, personal, business. And it's such a rewarding profession. Like, I love it. I love what I do.
Very cool. Al, is it that time in the podcast for your signature question? I think it is.
Well, I think so. It's interesting because, Jennifer, I think you've already mentioned a couple of things where what you are doing is going to affect some generations in the future. So maybe you've already hinted a little bit at the answer, but I'll ask the question anyway.
Yes.
Here it goes. A society grows great when old persons plant trees in whose shade they will never sit. So can you talk about any of those proverbial trees that you might be planting?
Yeah. So, I mean, apart from my profession and helping people live more freely and globally by acquiring another passport and having the passport be able to pass down through other generations, I think contributions that I've made have been particularly in St. Kitts and Nevis in sport. So as an elite swimmer who swam many years and who grew up in Canada and had the opportunity to swim, there are unfortunately a lot of drownings that happen in the Caribbean. And St. Kitts and Nevis does not have a swimming pool, surprisingly. And this is due in part to a tragic event that happened in their history, where there was a sinking of a ferry boat that was going between the islands, and a lot of people unfortunately lost their lives. And this really impacted the island. So we're trying to develop or help develop swim to win programs, where swimming will be introduced into schools and to share the joy of swimming and teach kids and adults how to swim. And so I've helped raise funds for the swimming program, as well as get an in-ocean 25 meter swimming pool to start different swimming programs and competitions locally. And so I think that just the island and everyone will be able to benefit. There's a lot of benefits from sport, like discipline, motivation, teamwork, health, like so many different benefits from sport. And I think this is something that I'm at least starting to see the impact that it's having on Ireland. And I think it will really change for a lot of people going forward in a positive way.
Well, you're walking your talk, Jennifer, because I've seen pictures on social media of you in your St. Kitts gear, because you're a citizen of St. Kitts, and I've seen you compete. So you're walking your talk in terms of competing and really living that lifestyle and being a role model. What does it feel like as a Canadian, though, as well as a St. Kitts citizen, what does it feel like representing? Because I know you've traveled around the world and represented the island for swimming.
Yeah, so I spent 20 years of my life in Canada and about 10 years of my life in St. Kitts and elsewhere in the Caribbean. And I really feel like I'm a global citizen. I'm very fortunate for the opportunity to be able to represent St. Kitts and Nevis. I really identify myself as a global citizen of choice of St. Kitts and Nevis. So it's really where I choose to call home. And I'm really happy for the opportunity. And I think it will positively impact future swimmers and future people going forward. So
very cool. Well, this has been a ton of fun. I'm so glad you agreed to do this. And it's been great getting to know you. And I'm sure we'll continue the conversation. So thank you for joining us today. And thank you so much for sharing your story. What's the best way for people to reach out to you if they have questions about yourself or what you're doing at JH Marlin Law?
Yeah, so you can get in contact with me at jennifer@jhmarlin.com, or you can visit our website at jhmarlin.com. I also have a YouTube channel, Jennifer Harding Marlin, Citizenship by Investment, and you can watch some YouTube videos there and get more information. We'd be happy to answer any questions you have. And yeah, I'm very, very happy to have been here. So thank you so much. I really appreciate this opportunity.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, this was fun. All right, so that does it for today's episode. Al and I really enjoyed the conversation. As always, we hope you did too. If you have any questions for us, please feel free to give us a call or by joining the conversation on LinkedIn. Remember, success leaves clues, my friends.